have another very beautiful letter to read to you this morning from the man who writes about the Christ so wonderfully. I think that perhaps someday all of these letters should be published and entitled The Gospel According to Keith. Dearest Mother, there was a man who for years had followed Jesus. He had heard the words of love from the man of God time and again, and each time they seemed to renew his aching spirit and refresh his lonely soul. Still, after these many years, he felt as if he had not moved, as though the words had not taken as strong a hold on him as they had in many others. Finally, during the twilight hours of a long day, in the heart of this man, he could not help himself, but picked himself up and walked over to Jesus. The eyes of Jesus turned to the man, for he had been waiting. And as the man looked into Jesus, his heart burst and tears flowed from his eyes. In a breaking voice, he cried out, "Master, I have followed thee for years. Still my heart does not rest, and my ears do not understand your teachings. How may I grow to become the love thou art? How may I grow into the love that is God?" Jesus answered, "My brother, thou hast just taken the first step on the path to thy true self, for on this path we are all seeds that must be planted in the soil of God's grace. When we have planted ourselves in him, then does he cover us with his wisdom and shower us with his mercy. There, buried in his infinite grace, do we begin to grow, some quickly, some slowly. The seed must find its own way to the surface, for growth is the nurturing of his guiding hand in marriage with the will of the seed to reach the surface. No amount of water from his love can cause the seed to grow till it open itself to blessed moisture. My brother, plant thyself in his infinite love, and the seed of thy will become the flower of his eternal bliss. Bury thyself in the earth of his mercy, and thou wilt emerge in the heaven of his love." Isn't that a beautiful thing? As many of you know, this man has only been with me since last June. He had gotten so he didn't even believe in God. He'd been raised in an Orthodox church. He'd had religion forced upon him. All of a sudden, I felt directed to have him come up and take the Cree initiation, although I'd never even seen him. And so he came. And so this is the result, just in this short time. Do you want to know why? It's because he put into practice the things that he learned here. And his soul opened up, and it reached out for the truth, which was to be found only within himself. And this is what is coming forth from it. I've chosen for my subject this morning, what is the best religion? And I would like to read to you from Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. Well, I guess verse 8. "We also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Pardon me. "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now this chapter tells us that Christ is the head of the body. And many of the Orthodox churches, as we know, have misinterpreted this particular sentence, because it says, and he is the head of the body, the church. And immediately they think of the outer church, the congregation. But it speaks of the body. And it also says in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Not just one, but every creature. Christ in every man. He is the infinite indwelling spirit in every single man. So the question arises, because of all of the Orthodox teachings which we have received down through the years, which have helped many, many people, but yet there are many who are searching because they have not found the consolation. They have not found the answer to the promises which have been given to them in the Orthodox fashion. Because of the fact that we have thought of this outer church as the body of Christ, man has failed to seek within himself for the answer of all things. But not so the men in ancient times. There are three prehistoric religions which have still survived today. One is Hinduism, one is Zoroastrianism, and the other is Judaism. Now, in all of these, there have been many sects established, and sometimes the sects threaten to overpower the main teaching, the original truth which was given in the great religions. But somehow, God always arranges it so that his will is done, and the sects are all absorbed into the one truth of God, which is the basis and the foundation for every religion the world over. People are so prone to condemn. They are so prone to separate God from God. And if he be omnipresent, everywhere equally present, then he cannot be separated from himself. And every single form of faith, even from the beginning, when man was idolatrous, when he worshipped through myths, when he worshiped symbols, and as he still does today in many forms, to the time when he lifts his consciousness above all symbolism, when he reaches out for the utmost of that which he can understand, and he wants to grasp the truth of why he is here. Who is he? What is the purpose? Where did he come from? Who is God? You ask many people, who is God? And they have no answer. The truth is, they are. Because in the Christian scriptures, it says, ye are gods. And that statement was made by Jesus the Christ. The Hindus have known this for centuries. For centuries. They have gathered together what is called the Vedas, the books. And yet they say that the Vedas have no beginning and no end. How can this be possible when they are books? It is possible for them to say this, because in truth, the Vedas are not books. It is the truth which has been searched out and realized by the ancient rishis of old, those men who have gone within the laboratories of their own souls and have explored, have used scientific means for exploring that which they are in truth. They have had the courage to go beyond all that is human in order that they might find the answers that are asked to the questions that are asked all over the universe as to who and what they are. These answers give us the spiritual laws by which all mankind must exist. The law of gravitation existed before man discovered it. This we all know. But each man discovers the truth for himself when he has made the necessary effort to bring himself in line, when he has suffered enough in the human sense, and he realizes that there must be something better than crawling like a worm in the dust, or being a slave to all of the desires of his senses, to be a slave of his whims, of his moods that just wave back and forth in the breeze. And this is what the human man is, that man who is the product of duality. Someone I was with last night made a very clever statement, I thought, and that is that duality can be fun. I have proven that is true, and I'm sure many of you have. But it can only be completely fun when you have risen above it and you become master of it. Until you do that, you are subject to the forces of duality. What does duality mean? It means the forces of magnetism and of opposition, of projection and magnetism, of good and evil as we have been taught to think of it. But when you look at the whole of creation and man's evolution from the beginning of what we know, you come to the conclusion, if you will go into the laboratory of your own soul, that there is no such thing as creation, that there is only a manifestation of that which has always existed. Now that is reasonable. It is also logical from the standpoint that God is. He is eternal, he is everlasting, he is all there is, and everything that there is that we in our human finite mind can conceive is a part of him. So there's no such thing as creation. There is no beginning and no ending. There is a constant flow, a constant cycle of God expressing himself and sustaining himself and then withdrawing unto himself. And this goes on forever and forever. Man is born a spirit. And if spirit is infinite, if it is eternal, then he can never die. Man is born a spirit and lives in a body. He has a body. He is not that body. He is, in truth, the infinite indwelling spirit in every form in this whole universe. That is why the Christ is universal, because he is the first and only begotten Son of that which came out from the union of God the Father as spirit and God the Mother as nature, or the flesh, if you will. So the Word of God went forth and took on a garment of flesh and dwelt among us in every man. Lo, I am with you always, said he. Isn't that a wonderful thought? To know that he is within each and every one of us, not just one form, but every form? And how could it not be so? Everyone comes to face with the question, what is the best religion? What church shall I join? What teacher shall I follow? Man can only join that church and follow that teacher which his consciousness is able to receive at that moment. We look at faiths which are foreign to Christianity in the outer sense, but in truth are the basis for all Christianity. The same truth is equally present everywhere because the same God, the same indwelling presence is everywhere. And so he asks himself, which church is best? So he picks out that one, he chooses that one, which he is able to comprehend, which his spirit has risen to conceive as being natural, as being agreeable to him at that time. We say that these foreign churches foreign religions worship idols, that they are heathens, they are heretics, they are infidels, and we do them and ourselves a great disservice when we say that, because they speak of the one Father God, They worship the one Father God. Only they speak of him in their language and they express the truth of him in their own way in accordance with the things that they have been taught. There are many people who will go to India and they will see these idols, these gods and goddesses. They will see the god Hanuman. They will see he is the monkey god, which represents the mind. And they will see Ganesha, who is the elephant god. And we are told that you should, over there, that you should worship Ganesha first. Now, what does Ganesha mean? We say, why worship an elephant? But to them, Ganesha symbolizes wisdom and light, which is of God. They do not worship the form. They are using the form in order to express their worship of one particular quality of the one God whom they worship. You can look around in our Christian civilization. You can look in all of the churches. In many churches you will see statues, idols that are worshipped. The cross itself is a symbol. You will see in the Catholic Church a statue of the Virgin Mary. You will see a statue of Christ, and yet no one ever saw these. These are concepts of a mind that was lifted up to the beauty of the expression of the universality of God and saw yet all of its component parts. And so man must needs have something as a bridge between himself and the infinite until he comes to that point, when he can go beyond all duality and experience that great light, that great truth within himself. Only when man has risen above his humanness, when he has crucified or transformed his human ego on his own cross, which is his body, only then can he truly come face to face with God. Only then can he see God. There are many, many people who think that to get God realization means to become a nothing. Now, let's look at reincarnation for a moment with this infinite spirit. If this spirit is of God, it cannot die. And so it continually takes on new forms. But the spirit itself is the indwelling present in every form. And so when one form wears out, this is the pattern of all duality, of all creation. A new one comes into its place. Even as the tree grows from a seed and it becomes a tall, strong tree and it bears leaves and finally fruit, and the harvest comes, flowers and then fruit, and then the seeds of the fruit again fall to the ground and the whole cycle commences all over again. But the sap of the tree, the spirit of the tree, is that infinite part of life which is God in everything, in all creation. But in man, it has its highest manifestation because a man alone has the consciousness, the power to realize his oneness with God. He who has seen me has seen the Father, said Jesus the Christ. And this is true of each one if we are all part and parcel of his creation, as we say in Christian terms. We are the manifestation of his very self. Now, man doesn't have the memory of his former incarnations until he comes to a certain point. And when God lifts him up, when he has come to this point of total surrender, when his love, his longing, his yearning for God through Christ, by whatever name you want to call this supreme manifestation of the universe, when he comes to that point that he wants to surrender fully at that one's feet, then he is lifted up and these manifestations start to take place so that he will eventually know who and what he is. He will be lifted up into the light of God's presence. He will go through the crucifixion on his own cross because that is an absolute necessity. Why? Because God is perfect. And in order to realize that perfection within ourselves, we must purify all that which is dross. Get rid of all of that which is darkness and ignorance within ourselves and see the great light of the Spirit shining in every religion, in every form, in every single one that we meet, regardless of who that one is. Man's consciousness doesn't go from here to there. in just a flash of an eye. He can think himself into it, but to realize it is something else. It is like the child that starts in the first grade of school. He has to study the rules of English before he can speak it properly. Well, that isn't necessarily true, because he can learn to speak without studying the rules through hearing these other things. But if you want to know be able to do the problems of mathematics, you have to learn the laws of mathematics and what governs and controls these figures before you can hope to become a mathematician. And so we are all in the beginning process at the start. Now, beginning from the standpoint that we must start here and go to the end if we are going to know all of the truth that we would like to know. And in order to know that truth, you must become it. You must go through the experiences which are necessary to give you that truth. You cannot possibly avoid them. The only thing is that when we revert to these perfect laws, which these rishis have discovered, these laws by which man must live, if he is able to work in harmony with these laws and to attain predominance over his lower nature, only then will he be able to learn all there is about himself and of the universe. But if you will go within the sanctuary of your own soul, if you will explore it, God will lift you up, and he will show you past lives. I know, because I have seen some of my own. Now, I can say this to you, and you can disbelieve me if you choose to, but that doesn't make it not true, because it did happen, and I did see. And you have the same God in you as I have in me. But this is not the thing to be looked for, nor to be desired, because the full concentration, the full attention should be upon God alone. He is the infinite beloved, and he takes every form. So when this spirit in this body dies, it will take on another form, and it will continue to progress and to progress and to progress until it becomes perfect in him in every way, until even the form drops off in the outer sense, and there is only a light form left, and even that blends them into the one life of God. Now, man in his human sense doesn't want that, because he thinks he'll become a nothing. But let me ask you, if you enjoy living in this body so much that you don't want to give it up, it's pain, it's pleasure, all the rest of it that goes with it, it's joy, it's happiness, it's sorrow, then think, you can have it not only in this body, but you can have it in another one, and another one, and another one, and enjoy it each time. But when you come to the point where you, the little cell of God's one body, blends into the total body, you have the joy, the happiness, the wisdom, the knowledge, the power, the beauty, multiplied universally with all there is. It is a constant and everlasting state of being. A constant and everlasting state of being. This is what we're here for. We're not here to just fool around. We're here to find out who and what we are. Who am I is the eternal question that man should be asking himself in the silence of his own soul. We see many religions the world over, and we see religions fighting against sects and denominations and churches fighting one against the other, because each one says he has the only true religion. No church has the only true religion, because the true religion is to be found within the temple of your own soul, this temple right here, regardless of what outer church you go to. And the true religion is man's need to find out who and what he is, to relieve himself of suffering and of want, and to find eternal bliss, not just plain happiness, this thing that comes and go. One moment you are in tears, and the next moment you're ecstatic because something good has happened, but an eternally blissful existence in God. You think it cannot be done? I tell you, it can, 24 hours a day. How? If you will make the effort to follow the teachings of the Christ, to put God first, to seek first God and his kingdom, then all of the other things will be added unto you. There are many movements the world over, and in our own country, we have so many of the young people now who are searching and seeking, and many of them have adopted the communal type of or way of life in order to try to do this. But we are told again, if they're truly following the true teachings, and this is true of the East as well as the West, that God is to be found within. When you find your eternal oneness with Him, then everything you need, everything you desire to know, all power over heaven and earth will be given unto you, and you will sit at the right hand of the Father. This infinite being who has existed far beyond man's conception of time. He always was, he is, and he always will be. And man is a part of that because he is the living manifestation, as it says right here in this thing, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. I read it to you out of the Christian Bible. Of every creature, not just one. Not just one. Let us take the veils of ignorance from before our eyes. Let us get over this orthodox idea of hellfire and damnation, of being called eternal sinners. You're born in sin, you live in sin, you suffer in sin. This is the greatest sin that was ever committed, ever perpetrated against an unsuspecting humanity. You are all children of God. You have but to realize this. Think good, think beauty, think power, think foremost, above everything else, of God, who is the source and the sustainer of everything there is. When you tune in with this infinite source, when you go within this church, within the temple wherein dwells the living God, you will find that everything I tell you is true. The methods should be few, and they are very simple. You don't need to worry about which church you're going to, because God himself will direct you to whatever church he wants you to go to. You don't need to worry about what religion you will embrace, because God himself will take you to that religion. You don't need to worry about what teacher you should choose, because God, in the form of the teacher, when you are ready, will come to you to help you to find him within yourself. Many of the churches have become what they have become, and the people have been left unfulfilled because of the lust for power. Only God has power. No individual, no church, no religion has power in the Spirit, because God is omnipotent, and his is the only power in the universe. And his power is good. It is not evil. Not from any standpoint could I conceive of a God that I could worship who had within him evil. It is what man has been taught. It is that which he has accepted. It is that which manifests itself as a result of this that brings all of the frustration, the trials and tribulations in the world today. And this world will never change until we change our consciousness, until we project positively from ourselves all good, all love, and all beauty. You cannot beat the law, and that is the law. That as ye give, so shall ye receive. As ye give, so shall ye receive. It doesn't mean the gifts that you go out and buy in a store and give to someone. It means every thought that comes forth from your mind. It means every word that comes forth from your lips. It means every action which you put forth from yourself. It will return to you in kind. But the wonderful part of it is that if man has made mistakes, and he does, that you can rise above those mistakes, that you don't need to remain subject to these forces of duality, of hot and cold and good and evil and this and that and the other thing. But you can rise above duality. These are the two thieves on your cross, the forces of good and evil so-called within yourself. And when you put your attention not on those two, either good or evil, but upon the indwelling presence, when you go within the sanctuary of your own soul, and you become quiet, be still and know that I am God, it says in one of the Psalms. Be still and know that I am God. Don't go searching here, seeking there. Don't go in communes hoping to give human love and thereby find God, to be one family in God that way. You must find it within yourself, and then you see Him everywhere. And God will form His own family, individually. There are many teachers who are charlatans, but if the devotee is sincere, God will even use that charlatan, that form, to take the devotee to Himself. Because He is all-powerful, all-great, and He knows the heart of each of us. Why? Because He is the indwelling living presence, that indwelling living power and intelligence that knows all things at all times. Pardon? Okay. There is no other way to find peace, no other way to find happiness, no other way to find all of the good things of life, until you become one with life itself, which is God. That's what we call Him. Others call that same Father God by a different name because their language is different. But they're all worshiping Him. It is man's nature to turn his eyes upward to the hills, to the consciousness of his own being, and to worship God. It is his very nature. Whenever he gets in trouble, no matter how much he denies the fact of the existence of God, when he is brought to his knees, he automatically says, "My God, help me." This is a symbolism in Paul on the road to Damascus. That one who was Saul, who went away from God, who killed and tried to deny and destroy everything that was of God in the beginning. All of a sudden, on the road to Damascus, which every soul comes to sometimes, the consciousness is turned, and then that one becomes Paul, the new one, the little one on the path, and because he has seen the blazing light of the Christ, that one who is within himself. Why is it that every statue of Christ, every picture of Christ is different? It is because each one sees that which is within himself, his own Savior on his own cross, first crucified and then sublimated into the divine, into the radiant one. You can become that. Ye are gods. All that the Father hath is mine, said the Christ. And each one of you can realize that within yourself because you have the Father within you. Each and every one of you. Wherever you go, you take Him with you. You cannot escape Him because He is your very self. The symbolism of Jesus being the carpenter was the truth, because God, in the form of His first and only begotten Son, which is manifested Spirit in all creation, built what we call this universe. He sustains it. There are tremendous upheavals, tremendous earthquakes, tremendous tidal waves. And that which was on the surface is buried beneath the ocean. And that which was in the ocean rises again. And so there are layers upon layers upon layers of civilization. And we don't know, we can't prove where it ever started. Because every time we unearth something new, another million years is revealed to us. So God is eternal, and we go on and on, but not in this body. Who would want to keep the body forever? You know? Don't you want a new garment every now and then when your dress wears out or your suit wears out? Of course you do. You go out and you buy a new dress, you buy a new suit, and you put it on. And you feel replenished, renewed. You feel smart-looking, at least clean and presentable. And so it is with this body of flesh. We take it off, and God puts it on again. It is as though, eventually, we will truly merge into the ocean of bliss. And it is said by Ramakrishna that the salt doll went into the ocean, but it could not come out to tell of its adventures. But somehow, you know, once in centuries, the ocean draws the salt again to its bosom and fashions a form which it sets on the shore to tell all men everywhere that God is life, and life is God. So you choose that church, that religion, which will give you the truth that God is in every religion, that he is in every form, no matter what it is, that each man is what he is because God has made him this way, this moment. And it is all God living his life. And to deny him in any one form is to deny the teachings of the Christ. Whatsoever ye have done unto the least of these, ye have done to me. So choose that religion which will take you into the realization of God who dwells within yourself. Choose that teacher who teaches only that God is everywhere equally present, that has no hang-ups and says, my religion is greater than yours. You can't hope to know as much as I do. Because who has all knowledge except God himself? Who has all power except God himself? I want those who come here to see God in every church, in every religion, in every form that walks this universe. His is the indwelling presence. And it is an insult to him when we deny that fact. An insult. He does all things for our highest good. Every single thing. There is nothing, any moment of our lives, that he does not use to help to bring us closer to the realization of who and what we are. And the truth is, we are he. Blessed Spirit, I am he. Now let us all pray to him. Oh Heavenly Father.
Oh Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
Of thy glorious presence.
Of thy glorious presence.
In every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
And surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my heart that I open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
May thy love shine forever.
May thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts.
May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts.
And bring them to thee.
And bring them to thee.